Hello, Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just finishing eating an apple. Come on now. Professional.
Where'd you get that?
I brought it from the hotel.
Oh, nice.
They don't. I don't think
imported.
They don't have
them in Indiana.
Yeah.
They're deep fried.
Yeah, they're deep fried. That's Steak and Shake. They come with the Steak and Shake.
Here's how I knew I was in Indiana. Well, I was in Indiana. I actually, when I went to the hotel room, I opened the drawer and there were two Bibles inside. Just one from
just in case.
Yeah, in case one doesn't work. You have a spare.
It's like a first aid kit or bottled water in your trunk if you live in an earthquake zone.
Well, it was like one from the Gideons and one from the Mormons, but they were on opposite sides.
Yeah, because if they touch...
Then there'll be a Godplosion.
Yeah. The room blows up.
Yeah.
How's everybody? Are you having a good limestone?
Yeah, awesome, right?
Are we having a limestone? This festival's been awesome, man.
Yeah.
We should announce to everyone listening at home, this is Comedy Film Nerds Live from the Limestone Comedy Festival, first ever in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana. Aw, shit. Limestone 2013. It's awesome. Last night, you know, we got in yesterday. Had a delightful 6 a.m. flight. Those are the best things ever.
Oh, the first leg was at 6 a.m. Total travel time, 18 hours.
18 hours. We crossed the international timeline. It was awesome.
As every one of you here knows, there's no easy way to get to this town.
It is impossible. I don't think there's any nonstop flights on any airline to the Indianapolis airport.
No. How do you get to Bloomington? Practice.
What? That doesn't make any sense. All right.
But it's
That's
good to
our
be
show,
here.
Guys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming out. We love movies. Well, that's somebody else's podcast uses that title. All right. I can't think who. We are coming to you in a Chevy Malibu. No. Wrong show. So, yeah, it's Comedy Film Nerds here. Last night when we got here and we were eating a dinner outside with Jackie Cation right next to the Chumkirk Bisley or whatever the buzz.
Yeah, yeah.
Buzz, sorry, I'm the worst with names. I still don't know the name of the venue I performed in last night. Yeah. I know it's that crazy basement thing where
that's why you guys abbreviate.
Yeah,
it's easier. Just say the letters
for me. And everyone was walking outside, and you know, people like
in disgust. Yes.
Fuck this. And by applause, how many people here have don't live here? You came from somewhere else. See? That's awesome. That's when you know you're onto something. I think Jared's onto something. I think this is going to be a really cool summer event, and it's just going to keep building because the lineup of comics is amazing. It's amazing.
It is?
Yeah. How about it?
Every show.
So this episode will come out late June. Someone's eating a cracker very loudly. It's like...
Someone's eating a cracker next to a microphone.
Yeah, next to I always bring my bullhorn when I eat saltines. That's just how I do it. Don't fucking judge me. I need to hear the crackers crunching in my mouth. You on the bicycle. I don't remember what we were just talking about. That really threw
me. This episode will drop in a few weeks.
It will drop, end of June, maybe beginning of July, when you're going on tour with your family. You're going on tour.
Yeah, I'm going on tour with my family, which is called a vacation.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I'm single. I'm on the road every week. I don't understand that word or what it means. Family, vacation, makes no sense.
Yeah.
I just know you have younger performers in your troupe.
Yes.
And you're...
Yeah, who are getting a little mouthy.
You're getting a little mouthy.
Yeah.
So we're taking them little fucks on the road. Yeah. We're going to see if they can handle it between the lights.
And their acting classes.
And their acting classes, yeah. You guys have become, you and your wife have become horrible stage parents. You're going on tour. Yes. We don't want to.
Audition.
Shut up.
Audition.
Yeah, audition. You're paying for your own college because you're five.
Yeah.
Those parents exist in Los Angeles.
They sure do. I mean, they should just be honest when they bring their kids to like an audition. It's like, okay, make sure you relive mommy's dreams.
Or
you owed me about that, really? Putting your children to work at four and I get a boo?
You guys are all like, sorry, we all have our kids in a slave labor camp.
Yeah.
They're all breaking limestone. Boom, callback, welcome. Hashtag limestone slave labor. That's what we want when this episode, you finally hear it. I say those things when we record, and then like the show drops, and then I see these hashtags appear, and I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
And it's like, oh, that's right. I was saying crazy things during the hour.
I'm insane. I don't
know. You know what? People are still using hashtag JGO.
As they should with everything.
So now, use hashtag JGL.
Every post. There's
loud cracker guy. Use hashtag JGL.
Just loud cracker eating, hashtag JGL. Yeah. That's Joseph Gordon-Levitt, for those of you who don't know.
I think we should introduce our first guest.
No.
All right. Very well.
I want to... Is there any movie-related business we need to discuss before we bring out our first guest? Like anything?
Well, we were going to say we wanted to... The movie that we saw today, we should probably save that for next week.
Well, yeah,
let's give him a taste.
Well, all right, for the fans here, this weird time fucking thing, because the people listening are going to be like, what? That movie came out a month ago. But we saw The Purge today.
Yes.
We're going to do a spoiler episode of that next week, so... It's going to be all Purge all the time. And then
here's the one spoiler thing we'll give you. The movie tried really hard to get to 88 minutes, so there's a really long credit roll at the end.
Yeah. It was weird. We're like, this is really long. Oh, that's right.
They're trying to get to the...
Just to get the feature status.
Mm-hmm. For overseas distribution.
This movie will do well overseas.
Because foreigners don't like plot or logic.
They're so dumb, foreigners. They don't speak English. They're all like, L.A., well, I don't understand English. I'm from Kazakhstan. God, they're dumb. All right, any other film business we didn't
know? No, we're really excited to bring up our first guest.
This is very
cool. We're going to have two.
Yeah, two delicious
guests. Not at the same time.
No.
That'd be too much for this stage.
Yes. We're at this table with these microphones, so it already
looks... limestone would break.
It would. It already kind of looks like a press conference. Like we're announcing our retirement. Like, yes. It's been a good 165 episode run, and my hip gave out, and we can't do this anymore. I had a coconut water incident, and I need to retire.
And here's your pen and your plaque.
Thank you. Oh, I have a...
Okay.
I have a... This is from... Oh, I have a pen from the Funny Bone in Omaha. Anyway, that makes no sense what I'm saying. Why don't you...
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Ladies and gentlemen, our first guest. We're really excited to have him, the first-time guest on the show. And a lot of times what we like to do is also on the show give you like an insider's view of how movies are made. And ladies and gentlemen, this performer is not only a comedian, but he's also been a grip and electrician for going on 5 years on major motion pictures.
And he's here. He's a comic.
He's a comic in the festival as well.
He's performing in the festival. So it's a very cool thing that we were able to get him here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pete Holmes.
No.
What?
No. Yep. No. No. You can't light that candle once you ring that Pete Holmes bell. You can't unring it.
Yeah, I know.
He's going to go on a 45-minute story about being a grip, and he doesn't even know what it means. Yeah. Do you have any idea what you're doing?
Ladies and gentlemen, from Denver, now living in New York, Brett Hiker.
Brett Hiker, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, sir. Welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Sure
now,
thing.
Now this is really a long, long story on how you got booked on the podcast. What happened was...
Is it interesting or funny?
We announced that we were going to be on the Limestone Comedy Festival, and Brett emailed, can I be on as a guest? And I emailed back, yes.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's how our selection process goes down.
Yeah.
You're available, book it.
How do you get on the show? You ask.
Ask us.
Ladies and gentlemen, now, Brett, I really wanted to talk to you about this because this is, we've all worked on movie sets, and the first thing I want to ask you is, what was the first movie you worked on? How did you get started? Did you start as a PA and go to grip, or did you start as a grip?
I started as a PA. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Which came first, comic or movie work?
Right at the same time, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean...
And what were you doing before that?
After I finished film school, I became an archaeologist.
Because, are you being like the audience guy that's trying to be funny when you're like, what's your name, sir? He's like, aha, Fred.
Yeah, no. It's,
Oh, you really were an archaeologist?
I finished film school and became an archaeologist for a year.
Did you ever yell, it belongs in a museum?
Daily, yeah, absolutely.
So you went from film school to being an archaeologist because philosophy was taken, or...
I just wanted to piss off my parents after they spent that much money on film school.
Didn't film school piss them off?
Not enough.
Oh, really?
His dad is Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
That's like, you're going to film school.
I don't want to. I want to be an accountant. Leave me alone, Dad. You don't know me. I'm going to go dig up stuff, just like Indiana Jones. Fuck you, Dad. Anyway, how did your family? How did your...
So after being an archaeologist, what made you go onto the movie sets?
I was actually out in the desert on a dig, and an ex-girlfriend called me because they were filming The Happening in front of her house in Philadelphia.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, right? And then she got word that they were hiring PAs, and I was like, okay. And I flew out there, and...
Where was the dig? I'm just like, oh, I'm in Cairo again. Back to Philly.
I was in Utah.
Oh, well, yeah, that's smart. Get the fuck out of Utah. That's
I was pretty eager to leave.
You were digging up polygamists? Yeah.
Oh my god, a 300-year-old bicycle.
Yeah.
That's what they ride to. You were saying.
Go ahead, so I got called for The Happening, and then and by the time I got there, they didn't want me anymore. And so then I worked on a really shitty indie movie called Bottle World, which still hasn't seen the light of day. This is 2007 I worked on it. Like a third of my movies you'll just never hear. Like after a while, after a few years, like, whatever happened to that movie? Is it going to come out or not? And then, so I did that, and then when I came
back... That's most of the things I've worked on.
Really?
Yeah. No one's ever heard of
Never seen the light of day.
Welcome to show business.
Not good enough to straight to DVD. Like, there's a tier below that.
There's a threshold, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's ignored.
Yeah.
There's a tier below that. It's called digital distribution on Comedy Film Nerds. I'm just kidding. I just insulted our whole business.
Yeah.
And my own film. Anyway, you were saying, this is a great interview. We just fucking talk about ourselves while you sit there and go, what a bunch of dicks.
Not out loud.
So then what was the first big one that you worked on?
My first big movie was Year One. Yeah. That was...
Wow.
That's a groaning moment.
Literally became physically hurt by you announcing that movie.
I worked in the movies for like 4 years before I had a single gem. Before I had one I was like proud to tell my friends I worked on.
Which one was that?
Avengers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What did you do on Avengers and then go into detail? Like, tell everybody what a grip is and all that stuff. Because most people are like, what is a grip?
Well, I should start with my parents still don't know what a grip is. Like, it's that hard to explain.
Is it like, it's like explaining a podcast.
Yeah.
Like, what time is it on? Whenever you want. Yeah. Oh, what channel? whatever.
What's the internet?
Yeah, it's on a par with that. Yeah, no, what was the first question?
I don't remember all right. at all. Really. No.
We'll just go right to Avengers. What was it like working on it? What's it like being a grip? What's it like working on the Avengers?
Avengers was a blast. They recreated the streets of New York in a rail yard, an abandoned rail yard in Albuquerque. Yeah,
nice.
which was pretty amazing. Like 60-foot tall green screens that were like a block long, just totally covering like the street that became New York. And we were just stuck in this room for God knows how long. I don't know, a couple months.
But now, Grip, you're basically in the electrical department.
Yeah, well, short answer, lighting. Long answer, not lighting. Yeah. Like, electric does the lighting, and Grip just like puts up the stuff you can hang the lights from, and they do all the dollying. And
right.
The best way to I can explain it is when you're watching the special features. I always ask my friends, like, "Well, turn on special features of a movie," and I'll point out all the behind the scenes stuff. Like, oh, Grip did this, electrician did this, Grip did this, and then they get really pissed at me for wasting their time. Yeah.
So what was some cool stuff that you got to see on the Avengers while they were shooting? Like, were you thinking like, oh, this is going to be a great movie as you were making it?
I always think that. I thought that year one. Yeah. No, yeah, I was there. I mean, I was a big part of the final battle scene.
How long did it take to shoot that? Like weeks, months? Like
months.
Months.
Months. Absolutely months.
All in front of a green screen that they did in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, the final death. Well, I guess they finally went to New York for like a week just to catch like plates. Or plates are just like, what's going to be on the green screen? You know what I mean? Like they finally got their background shots in New York, but for the most part, all Albuquerque.
And so basically now, is it like, explain to people listening when actors are doing like big action green screen, like there's basically just somebody just holding up, they're basically like,
they're just like, on wires.
Just like a stick or something like that. And they're like, oh, that's the thing that's attacking you. Like, oh, yeah. Run from that.
Yeah, no, actually the giant robot in Terminator Salvation was just a tennis ball on the end of a really tall stand that they all had to run from. Which is just one of the... And even crazier, one of the most hilarious things is watching Mark Ruffalo be the Hulk. Because he's just wearing like a really stupid suit with a bunch of little like light sensors running around just growling at shit. And he weighs like 98 pounds. Like, he's not the Hulk. Really friendly. We had a day where this abandoned rail yard wasn't really like airtight. And it's Albuquerque. We had a day where it was like, oh man, it was the third day in a row. It was 100 degrees. And he had the day off and showed up in an ice cream truck. And was just, everything's paid for.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Oh, he's the sweetest man ever.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I can't believe I shit on him for his weird Hulk stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's adorable, yeah. Mark. Well,
was he driving the ice cream truck, like, dressed in his Hulk outfit?
No, he was in street clothes. But I read an interview the other day where he's like, he said he was no longer interested in doing, like, a solo Hulk movie. And there's all these comments, like, what, why not? I was like, I know why. It's just, he looks like too much of an idiot for too long.
Now, you say when you're shooting these movies, when you're making these movies, they all look good while you're making them. Now,
yeah.
Is this still true with Lone Ranger?
Yeah, no, Lone Ranger does look good. I was
Come
able to,
on!
No, it's literally, it's just Pirates of the Caribbean in the West. Like, they've already written two sequels to it.
Wow, and it's just not sold me on
wow.
it.
Wow. Have you seen the first one?
The first
one?
Pirates is pretty good.
Sure.
So maybe the first Lone Ranger will be pretty good, but...
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I read chunks of the script, and it was pretty funny. And I don't know the whole story or whatnot, but it's the same director, and it's the same visual effects crew, and pretty much, you know, it's Disney. Mm-hmm. It's the same deal. It's Pirates of the West.
Now, what were some of the scenes that you were working on, if you can talk about?
Oh, on Lone Ranger?
Lone Ranger, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was actually a rigging electrician, which means I come in before they shoot and just kind of rig all the lights up, and then we got to leave once they actually shoot.
Oh, you can't watch the
show. So I never watched any actually live filming of the Lone Ranger, but I can tell you like all the sets we went to. And
well, yeah, give us some examples of some of the sets.
All right, there's a whorehouse.
That's very Disney.
Yeah, I don't think they ever say the word whorehouse, but it's clearly that.
Will this be coming out as a Touchtone movie?
I have no idea.
That's gone. Touchstone. Okay,
I have no idea what he was talking about.
It used to be where the Disney movies that were not Disneyfied, they would put it under that label.
Oh, really? Like the adult movies?
Then they got rid of it.
Yeah. And basically, like they built a train tracks out in the middle of nowhere, like a really long section of train tracks,
mm-hmm.
probably half a mile. You know, build a couple fake old West towns, just standard Western.
Now, did they actually build the trains, or were they like old trains that they just kind of dressed?
Oh, no, they brought in like train cars from like... I don't know where they bring them from, wherever train cars are made. But, yeah.
So, where did they build this?
Like, fuck, you got me. I don't build train cars. Oh, yeah. I set up lights.
Oh, no, I mean, where for the movie.
What's that?
Where did they do all this for the movie, like the fake Wild Western town?
Oh, it was all in Santa Fe.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, which I was based out of New Mexico for a long time, so most movies I worked on were out of New Mexico.
Okay.
Which does a lot of movies. Pretty much every Western, post-apocalyptic, or like Middle East movie is... I always wonder, like, that's how they advertise. It's like, New Mexico, we can double for Iraq.
Yeah.
And you did Cowboys and Aliens there, right?
I did Cowboys and Aliens, yeah, Santa Fe. But, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any stories from that set?
I told one in the green room that I can't repeat, but, no, I do. You asked me, like, the craziest thing I saw on set, and I think that was during that opening scene in, not opening scene, but that first alien attack in Cowboys and Aliens. They really wanted a scene of a horse rearing up and falling through a wall into a house. Yeah, I don't know. Favreau was obsessed with the shot. And so the way they did it is they built a fake wall and just put it in the middle like of the street. And then they had this horse walk behind it. Then had like an explosive in the ground. So when the horse got close, this explosive would go off. And they wanted the horse to rear up. And the first take, the horse rears up but just throws the rider through the wall. Which he didn't like. And so they do it again. And then like... Each time, like, it never works out. Like, the horse, like falls the wrong direction. And so, like, after, like, three takes, the horse is just like, fuck this, I'm not doing this anymore. And so they brought in another horse, and the, you know, they go through like three or four horses. It turns out being like 8 hours of them just doing failure after failure. And then at one point, one of the old Teamsters, that's the best people to talk to on set, is the old Teamsters, because they have these stories of back when there was like no regulation on set. He's like, you know, back in the day, we would just tied all four of the horses' legs together and just pushed them through the wall. And at that point, that was more humane than making this horse walk down this tiny corridor with an explosion right in front of its face over and over again.
You would think if somebody went through the wall, that would be enough.
Yeah, right?
Threw a rider through a wall. Print.
We probably did 15 takes, never got it, and then we're like, all right, they ended for the day, and the next day, like, we're starting with that shot. Everyone shows up, and we all just like bring lawn chairs because we're just like, all right, this will be a while. First take, they got it. But they didn't use it in the movie that I recall. Yeah, after all that shit, which, yeah.
And did they kill those horses?
I imagine. At one point, it was a brown horse. They brought in another brown horse that had like a white spot on its nose. And like, oh, what about the white spot? And like, someone from hair just walks up and just spray paints it brown. I'm sure it was hair coloring, but it looked like a spray can.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fucking horrible.
Yeah, yeah. That whole like, we don't injure animals on set. That's pretty lenient. He's fine. He's fine.
Just ask him. He'll be great.
No, he likes it.
Horses love explosions.
Yes.
Who doesn't?
And hairspray.
And hairspray. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
Now, you also worked on, like, what was the progression from PA to grip? Like, when did you finally go from, like, did somebody say, hey, you want to be a grip? You're such a great PA. Like, what's the, how do you go from PA to grip?
Well, I worked on a movie pretty early on when I was a PA. And PA, for those of you guys that don't know, is the guy who, like, fetches people coffee and then they spit in his face when it's too hot.
Yeah. And if you have a white spot, they just spray paint it to cover it up.
Yeah.
So I just realized the other day of how I became a grip or why I wanted to become a grip all of a sudden, which was one of the first movies I did. I was at a rap party, and the best boy grip and the best boy electrician both hooked up with the lead actress and the supporting actress. I was like, I got to become a grip. And it hasn't happened since.
That sounds like one of those, like, yeah, I was a pizza delivery guy, and I showed up to his playmates, and they were all living by us. Like, it sounds like a bullshit story. Like, yeah, that's not going
to happen. The closest that's come to repeating itself is Natalie Portman smiled at me on Thor.
Have you worked on...
So you worked on Thor. Did you have to light the cashy box in the foreground in that one scene?
I heard you guys talking about that the other day. I was listening to the podcast. I don't even remember that scene.
Oh, yeah. That was the first time a product placement was in the foreground of a scene.
Yeah.
I remember there being a lot of product placement. It was like a 7-Eleven, like the fake town they built again out in the... It was really... It's the town from 310 to Yuma that they just stapled cheap plastic siding over everything. That's the town that Thor takes place in.
Nice.
That's awesome. Where did you like... was that a lot of green screen, like the Asgard stuff, or did they build any of that stuff?
You know what? All the Asgard stuff was in L.A. I only worked on the boring parts of Thor. You guys remember that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Earthbound stuff.
Yeah, I was only on Earth. I never got to go to Asgard.
So then you were living in New Mexico, and now you're in New York?
Yeah, I got transferred out to New York to work on a shitty Liam Neeson action movie. And the fact that that alone isn't a punchline shows, like, what a strange turn Liam Neeson's career has taken. Yeah, it's this movie where he's an air marshal and he takes down a bunch of terrorists.
Awesome.
Yeah, right?
I'm on board. He fights wolves with bottles on his knuckles. Like, I love it.
Does he lose his memory?
I have no idea. All I remember, though, is I was just, once again, like, we have an airplane set, and like the whole movie takes place on an airplane, so we're just stuck in this tiny set with Liam Neeson. And when I would go to bed at night, I would just hear Liam Neeson demanding answers to questions, just the voice, like, who are you? Why are you doing this? Where is it?
I hope there's a scene at the beginning of that movie where someone goes, well, normally we don't hire 65-year-old air marshals.
It's old Grandpa Air Marshal. That's a crazy fucking laugh. Where'd that one come from? That's by the cracker guy. Cracker guy. Sorry, I can't let that go.
So now you've also been working on. Now, what was it like working on Last Stand with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Because
you're the only one that saw that movie.
Yeah. I actually watched it just this week because I thought you guys would ask me about it. I had never seen it up to that point. I liked it. Did you guys watch it?
No.
Yeah, I had a thing that day. Damn it.
Oh. Like, as I was watching, I was like, this is the movie that my babysitter would rent for me when I was 5, and I would love it. It's just, it's a throwback to a shitty 80s action movie where. Arnold's kind of a cowboy.
What?
It's,
he doesn't play by the rules?
Not in this film.
But he gets results, right?
Oh, he gets it done,
I bet. He gets some results.
Oh, sometimes you just got to do it yourself, right?
Yeah.
And so, wait a minute now. You need to explain why you, like, go into detail why you really like that movie.
It's kind of the same way.
Answer the question, sir.
It's the way you justified liking Fast and the Furious 6.
That's a great, bold movie. I'm sorry, a movie that's all about family.
Well, they both came out the same year, so we'll see which one gets Best Picture nod.
Well, we know which one's not going to have a sequel.
Sometimes you just got to drive, and then you drive, and then you stop, and
you know,
then you drive.
You just find out when you drive. That's how you know when somebody, you want to be a wolf, you are a wolf. What? What the fuck are you talking about? I think I know why that scene with him and The Rock, why they didn't look each other in the eye when they were giving each other mad props, because they would have started fucking. They would have just been like, family, oh, yeah. And everyone would have gone, and we knew Vin Diesel was gay. He's gay. So The Last Stand. What else have you worked on?
We want to talk about, now you've got some movies that are coming up that you've already worked on. Now let's talk about, how does Spider-Man 2 look? Spider-Man 2.
Well, on set we're calling it Spider-Man 2 2. I thought that would crush, I'm sorry. Where are you when I need you, Cracker Man? Filling the gaps of silence. Spider-Man, it's Spider-Man. It's more or less looks like the sequel to the last one. Jamie Foxx is blue for some reason. I don't understand that. He's the bad guy. He plays like Electro or something. And I just heard
But he's blue?
He's blue, which, I mean, they don't really see the script, so he's kind of got like, well, hopefully it makes sense. Which I worked on Terminator Salvation, and then when the movie came out, I was like, well, guess not.
That's because no one saw that script.
Oh, God. Totally believable that they would fall in love with the...
So what? How did it look with Spider-Man 2? Like, were you doing green screen stuff? Like,
Screen stuff. Downtown New York. And there's a rumor out right now. I mean, I didn't see this on set, but that Paul Giamatti's been cast as the Rhino. Did you just hear this?
Wow.
You didn't hear that, no.
Yeah.
Well, now I'll see it.
That alone makes me want to see. I maybe just be spreading false rumors now, but like that's what the rumor on set was.
That'd be a great thing to do, is to go on like film-related interviews and just, you know, did you know Lee Majors is going to be the new Thor? Just go, what the fuck? Yeah. Lee Majors is.
Yeah, I saw it. I was lighting him.
I worked on the set.
Yeah.
It's all green screen.
So is it, now did you see Andrew Garfield? Did they use some extra CG to make him look more mopey?
No, they don't need CG for that. That comes pretty. I never saw him in the costume. I was only on it for a couple weeks, and I never actually saw Spider-Man in costume, which was really depressing. But
what else that's coming out that you've worked on?
I did a new Scorsese movie, which is called Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah, and that one as well is like
a lot of green screen.
Absolutely. They didn't even shoot it on Wall Street. They shot it blocks away from there.
So what's that? Well, I guess you may not be able to tell, but what's...
Because, like, a lot of times you work on these things, you're not given the script.
Yeah,
right?
No, yeah. Lots of times you just piece some stuff together. I don't know what they're doing here. But this, I mean, it's a straight... From what I pieced together, it's a whistleblower movie starring Leonardo DiCaprio in the 80s during the peak of Wall Street.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Cool. That's actually
part of the crash kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. Anything else?
I think I'm good.
Any tour?
This is getting tedious. Your questions bore me. Good night.
I don't want to talk about movies anymore.
I've got to hanker for crackers.
All right, well, cool, man. Well,
Website. Where can people find you? Your comedy and or where can people hire you for to tell jokes or to set up lights?
My name's Brett Hiker, just like it sounds. Find me on Facebook or Twitter. My Twitter handle is Brett Hiker.
I just tweeted him. I did a photo with him at Brett Hiker. Sweet.
Thanks for having me on.
Enjoy the rest of the festival, man. Brett Hiker,
thanks,
ladies
Brett.
And gentlemen. Big round of applause. Bing, bang, boom. Nice insider business. We always get great guests.
Really, really insightful. I love getting the real stories when the movies are being made because, you know, it's I'm going to go out on a limb, and I think you guys already know the entertainment business. Not as glamorous as it appears.
And run by lunatics.
Yes.
Which brings us to our next guest, ladies and gentlemen.
Also a grip and electrician for 5 years.
He was living on a compound in Albuquerque.
And was just in Maron's new show, Mark Maron's new show on IFC. Mm-hmm. Really funny guest spot on there. Ladies and gentlemen, Pete Holmes.
Pete Holmes, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing, dude?
Good to see you.
Thank you. Where were they on that? Wall Street wasn't filmed on Wall Street. It was blocks away. Yes. I was so alone in the audience, the only one laughing. I was also the only one laughing, Graham, when you said, does he get results? I don't mean to give you a hard time as an audience, but I was like, I just felt so isolated. I was like, ha, 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 you should play it back.
Here's why I love the doing the live podcast, because you get the laughs, but I always throw in stuff. Someone at home.
You definitely know there's a bunch of people at home.
I remember we did Doug Loves Movies here. And it was Jim Caviezel's birthday or something, and I said, Jim Caviezel Day, ladies and gentlemen, and all the comics are making all these jokes, and I went, holiday bus schedule. And I don't think anyone heard me. Nobody heard me, but I got like half a dozen emails like, oh my God, holiday bus schedule for Jim Caviezel made me trip on my thing.
That was super duper funny. And here it is, joke redemption. I'm not kidding. Holiday bus schedule for Jim Caviezel Day.
It's great. You got to resurrect that joke.
Yes. It lives on forever. Nice. Funny. Oh my God.
Very good. Very,
so
very
how
good.
You just recorded your podcast today at Limestone? How
I did.
Go?
Was anybody there?
Nice.
You're welcome.
Before the show, Pete said, "Now make sure you eat crackers really loud, audience."
No, they were a wonderful audience, and it was a fun time. A fun time.
Because you. Well,
it was 4 p.m. I asked you at the last show, I don't know why you guys are free during the day. And I'm very glad that you are, and I am as well. Graham?
I thought I heard Christopher Walken's voice in there for a second, and then I heard...
Well, that's funny, because backstage, I thought I sounded like Tony Soprano, and I was like, sorry, it just sounded like Tony Soprano like just then, and you were like, you didn't.
You didn't.
All.
You sounded like Woody Allen trying to be a mobster, like... Okay, the union cut.
AJ! I can't do it. I'm not saying I can do it. I'm saying I accidentally didn't do it.
I think you should try it. Give it a go right now.
You know what I love? I'll give it a little context. If you watch The Sopranos now, The Sopranos is a masterpiece. It's one of my favorite shows of all time. But if you watch it now, what seemed very cool now seems very heavy-handed. Meaning, they used to like work in current events, and you're like, how do the writers do it so fast? You know what I mean? But now it seems obvious and ham-handed. Tony will be like, I gotta worry about this! I can't find the WMDs! Like, it's like... Like, they'll just start a scene with Sal or something, and he's just like, now they're staying, they might not find Bin Laden. And then the scene will start. No reason, nothing to do with anything. Look, I didn't say I could do either of those impressions. You bring me out here to do impressions. The crowd was white hot. They were white hot, and then you asked me to do these impressions from The Sopranos. Nobody here gives a fuck.
Let's see. Now, Pete, if Jim Nabors and Foghorn Leghorn... We're watching The Sopranos. What would they sound like?
I can't wait to hear this.
Who's Jim Nabors?
Wow! How dare you, sir? How dare you?
Who is that?
Gomer Pyle.
Yeah, I don't know that. Yeah.
Did you grow up in Canada? Were you homeschooled or something? Or what happened?
Sorry.
Sorry.
I was.
Nice. About...
Everybody can you do Christopher Walken? Everybody can. I just watched Seven Psychopaths. Is it socio or psycho?
Seven Psychopaths.
I think I'd rather see socio. They just go around not caring about each other. Yeah. It's like, I lost my job. I don't care. I got an Xbox. Yeah. Sociopath number one. I'm breaking up with you. Who gives a shit? Baby carrot day. Sociopath number two. There you go. Edit out the first part and bring us right here.
We'd never edit, dude.
Never edit.
Never edit.
Never edit.
Live to tape.
That's one of the things I don't understand. You do a Conan O'Brien, you do a David Letterman or whatever, you go out there. If you fuck up, it's not live. It's called live to tape, which means it's not live.
Right.
But if you go out and you're doing Letterman and you go out and you just have Tourette's for some reason, you're like, fuck Jews. And then, like, they won't take it out. They'll be like, it's the fuck Jews set. And it goes to tape and then they put it out. You can't start over. Sorry I said fuck Jews. Jesus Christ. The example was supposed to be offensive.
We're close to Martinsville. It's all right.
Is that a local reference?
Yeah, that's the birthplace of the Ku Klux Klan.
That's where
you're doing your late show tonight, yeah. Is up there in Martinsville.
Well, this fuck Jews thing is
going to
destroy.
You're going to destroy, dude. Bring the cracker guy. It's going to be fucking home run city.
Do the fuck Jews bit from Letterman. That's why they're there. It's the fuck Jews guy. We will hate you. Okay. Martinsville, birthplace of the KKK.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't. Like I'm from Lexington. Nothing really happened in Lexington or Salem, Massachusetts. Everything important happened in Danvers. I'm sure Martinsville is just next to the town where the real shit happened. Is what I'm saying.
Yep. No. Well, you know they have movie night. No.
Were you guys there?
These guys are like, yes, we were.
No. They're trying to bring more people in, of course. It's the movie night, Birth of a Nation, again.
I know that. That's very funny. You've been consistent. I'm so off-putting. You've been consistently funny the whole show. I really enjoyed watching you.
That is so a horrible compliment
in
a weird way.
I know. Yeah. Looking right at you. Yeah. Anyway, here's Christopher from The Sopranos. I'm just kidding. He's really put in reverse for any Sopranos reference, even a coy one.
Didn't think you were going to go back to that.
Yeah, it's okay.
So, all right.
Here, look, I can see your notes. Here's why I don't like any Star Trek film.
Now, are you talking about all of them from the original
or
the
just
next generation
the last
of
two.
The last
just
two?
Just the J.J. Abrams ones, the two most recent?
I saw that one, and I haven't seen any of them, but it goes for all of them.
This is great. This sounds like my grandmother. I just don't like the tight boots. They're offensive. A grown man would never wear tight boots like that unless he's dancing in the circus. That's more Libby from the Todd Glass Show.
Give me a loose boot.
Give me a loose boot on a man. It's a half boot. A grown man should never wear a boot to the knee. Okay?
Oh my God.
Who are you trying to be? Jim Neighbors?
Yes.
Gomer, pile it on. I don't get the reference. We're having fun now.
So, Pete. God. Okay, tell us why.
I was going to ask you if you can do Christopher Walken. Everybody can do it, kind of.
Yeah.
I'm a sociopath. Who cares? Fuck you. Just try it. No, do it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, my God. Say something funny. Right. Do your act right here.
Yeah. Everybody.
It's not bad. It's good. Yeah. It was kind of scary.
That sounds more like Burl Ives from those Rudolph the Reindeer movies.
Everybody. See, you're going too low.
I told you.
Every.
Warn them. Not a piece of work.
Yeah, not bad.
Not a piece of work. Things are doing Denver when you're dead? Anybody?
No, they were just trying to figure out, was that Christopher Walken playing
Woody Allen?
Ruling Foghorn Leghorn? Yeah. Is that what that was?
Give him the watch.
So Star Trek.
I don't like Star Trek because I always think it's going to be space-time adventures. And then it always ends up just being fucking guys in ships Skyping each other. I mean, like, I'm going to make a lot of valid points about movies you may enjoy. And I give you permission to continue to enjoy them.
What's
I just
the
want
last...
you to admit that it's motherfuckers Skyping each other.
What was the last Star Trek one you saw?
I haven't seen any of them, to be honest. No, I saw that last J.J. Abrams one.
The first one?
Yeah, because I was like, oh, they're rebooting. And I was like, here we go. Now I'm now I'm on board. You know what I mean? But then still an awesome opening sequence. And then they're still like, how's your ship? Oh, it's cool on the ship today. Watch out. We're going to shoot at your ship. Don't you shoot. They're shooting at our ship. That special effects, they're just wobbling the camera. Fuck those movies in the ass every day. They belong in the 60s. The new Batman movies don't have pow. They got done with that shit. Well, they're stuck in it. Fuck those movies. Seriously, if you like them, I'm glad for you. Enjoy it. Enjoy your life. I'm not here to marshal your good time. I'm just telling you what takes me out of it.
Well, there is, yeah, there is, that is classic Star Trek acting.
So if you were making a Star Trek movie, what would you put in?
I'll tell you, there's no remedy for that, but I will tell you this. What made me think of this is the reason I hate every Superman movie, and what makes me hope that I might like the new Superman movie, because I heard the new Superman movie doesn't have kryptonite. Okay, every other Superman movie that I've seen, it's third act. What's going to go? Everything's going up. Everything's coming up. Superman, he's saving everybody. Don't worry, it's going to be fine. What's going to happen? They found kryptonite, and it's so fucking stupid. And they run out of ways to introduce it. He gets a hot dog with relish. It's kryptonite. Fuck this movie. Fuck all those movies. Don't Skype on a ship and stay away from the kryptonite, you perfect man. Fly to Lex Luthor before he finds it and rip his throat out, you bitch.
I didn't know I felt so strongly until I started talking.
That was a piece of gold, sir.
Yeah. You know, Pete makes some good points.
He does make some good points.
But the new one, they say no kryptonite, only loneliness. I'm in for that. I really am.
Yeah, he looks very, it's a very dark, lonely-looking Superman. I love that. Superman.
He's a Superman.
I saw it on a Tuesday.
He's a robot.
He's a robot.
The robotman is a Superman.
The robotman is a Superman. I saw it on a Tuesday, and I was lying in a pillow.
A pillow!
Drinking some milk.
Milk! God, you're fucking a thesaurus for those words. I didn't know there was a term for those. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So now, what other superhero movies do you have a problem with, Pete?
Yes, well, Graham and I said we were going to save this for the stage. Save this for the arena. Save this for the Thunderdome. Save this for the Technodome.
Should I sit between you guys for this bit?
Bear in mind, I'm wearing a Batman.
No, who loves Batman more than me? In fact, I would say, as ambassador of Batman Town,
we'll call it Gotham, or we could just call it.
Wow.
We could just call it Batman Town.
I mean, just look in my back. Oh, there's a batarang in my back. You stabbed me, sir, unjustly. I'm just saying it's my civic duty to not like Dark Knight Rises. It's my civic duty to let that letdown of a movie die a sad death.
Okay,
it's
you, okay. Need, you look, need to defend yourself in a public forum, sir.
Maybe you should sit between us.
It's going to get really
ugly.
You
know what I'll do? I'll score points. Let's see who can win this.
No. Yes. Fine.
wait, I'm sorry.
No.
Yes.
Yes,
no.
Fine.
Yes.
But listen.
And go.
I don't have necessarily the best argument for it.
All right, Graham gets a point.
Okay, you know what? Here's what happened. So I saw the movie, and then I did a series of tweets of fake quotes from the movie.
Okay.
That were quite popular.
Okay,
I'm going to read you one of them and see, and then you can respond. Here's my hope for this. My hope isn't that you go, "You're right, it's a piece of shit." My hope is for you to say, "Peter, you made a lot of valid points, and I understand that pulled the rug out for you, and I will still continue to enjoy it." And then I'll say, "That's fine. It's like your weird religion." I'll let you keep your beliefs as long as they don't impede on mine. But here we go. This is the first one.
So you're saying you're a Batnostic.
You are very funny. You're just a good time. You're
at
like
movies?
Yes, you are a good time at the movies. I want to have you at a dinner party, and I just, when there's a lull, I point at you, and you go, "Well, you can eat a strawberry pop, but you're going to get those seeds in your teeth," and everyone applauds and loves you.
All right, Pete gets a point.
Ah.
All right.
Oh, just because his impression of you is you're some old-timey guy from the 30s? Hey, 23 Skidoo, you got a strawberry chaser in your nullockies.
Yeah.
What?
I have a weakness for impressions of myself from the 30s. That is true.
It's a gargoyle. See? It defends yourself from evil spirits.
Now you're on the trolley. Okay.
It's a gargoyle. See?
He's a huge gargoyle fan.
The reason I laughed at that is because I took the time to picture two children alone and scared and looking for an unmarked grave to solve some sort of unrelated mystery. They shine their lantern on a gargoyle, but they don't know what it is. And there's Graham in bad Murder of Crows Cuba Gooding Jr. old man makeup. That pull is so deep it's in the basement.
Wow.
You came out. You
someone
came out.
Listening to that's head just
yeah,
exploded.
Somebody listening to this while they have Murder of Crows
they
on.
They just went, oh! and they jumped out their window.
Yeah, they just said,
unbelievable.
But it was an honorable death.
Yes, yeah, of course.
Somebody just went, Pete Holmes saw me.
Ah, so specific. Then he goes, that's a gargoyle to ward off. It doesn't matter. The funniest part is past. All right, quote. Hello, Time Warner. I need to speak with someone about setting up local Gotham cable in a secret prison. Yes, I'll hold. That one is attributed to Bane. Fuck that movie. He puts him in a hell prison and gets him closed circuit television across the world. Fuck that movie. Where his back is broken and it's healed because they get to, first of all, they get to socialize in the world's worst prison where there's a hole in the ceiling and rope in case you want to give it a go. And a pull-up bar and television to your home city so you can watch it die. Fuck you. Kill me, you bitch. You stupid villain. You sorry excuse for the Joker. You're nothing. You're not even that big. Give me a big Bane if you're going to have a Bane. Fuck that movie. You heal me with one karate chop to my vertebrae. Racist towards Asians. Ooh, magical Asians. They'll heal you with a whack. This film is racist. And then you get to try, and when I saw it, I was like, oh, you climb up, but you'll die. No, you don't. You can go as many times as you want. In fact, all the other evil prisoners will chant along and give, go, 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 moral support. Then he gets out. Then he gets out and gets a flight. He gets a flight. He's got a knapsack from Urban Outfitters. And he's wearing like a fucking medical chamois. Gets a flight after miles and miles walk with a broken back. Gets a flight back to Gotham, which is locked down. Nothing in or out. He got in. And then he just shows up. And Catwoman, fuck her. The same place that taught her how to fight in stilettos taught her how to ride his secret bike that no one else knows. I just know how to do this. Fuck her. She sucks. She sucks. And she's the best part of the movie. When did I become Vince Vaughn? It's not a good movie. I just don't understand why it's not. I got more.
I want to hear more of Vince Vaughn as an older Jewish man that you were doing.
I'm just saying, it breaks your mother's heart. If you don't go to Yom Kippur, what's the big deal? Before you go, you wear the little hat and you light a candle. What's the big deal? Get out of there. We love money, baby. We love money. I've been anti-Semitic twice.
Martinsville, here we come.
All right, a lot of these I covered. Can someone I don't know or trust take this food up to my boss who I usually take care of? I have to stay down here for no reason. That's Alfred. Bane's goons. Quote, there's another Batwing in Batman's armory. Should we use it? Bane. Nah. I can't believe we beat a huge army of escaped convicts armed with AK-47s and tanks with our small caliber sidearms. Off camera. That's the Gotham Police Department.
I remember that. Yeah, they rushed them.
Yeah. Great idea. Let's have this discussion on this dangerously thin exile ice. Commissioner Gordon and Batman, who didn't fall through for some reason. That speech about Harvey Dent must be true. Bane's holding papers. That's the people of Gotham. There's something fishy going on in the sewers. Let's all go down as one big unit. That one is Nick Crefting. I should say some of these aren't. Most of these are me, but that was Nick Crefting. I knew you were Batman when I was 10. That's Blake. I had no idea. You mean the guy in the ski mask and the $8,000 suit? Highest ranking detective. Fuck this movie. The field blew up and the scary guy down there has a big bomb. I guess I'll stay in my seat in case they replay The Last Down. That one was Stephen Skinner. We've got a few minutes to listen to Talia's last words, right? No one's Batman. I love a good cry. That's the guy who rips people's throats out with one hand. He cries at the end of that fucking movie. He's my protector. The scariest guy, who, by the way, punches concrete and breaks it, but when he punches Bruce Wayne's face 15 times, has no discernible impact. Fucking waste of my time, this goddamn movie. Why are we even talking about it? This hallucination of Ra's al Ghul is somehow giving me information I didn't have. That's Bruce Wayne. Now go.
All right, response. Pete, that was worth about 20 points, I think.
I have but one response. That's the greatest movie ever.
I told you my aim at the end of this was for you to continue liking your backwards Mormon religion. I want you to keep the Mormon Jesus. I want you to have the golden tablets, the magic underwear,
yes,
all of it.
I have it. I come from the planet Kolob or whatever the fuck.
You vie for Kolob.
Yeah.
You're not from it.
Oh, right.
Pete, did you like Dark Knight Returns?
Loved it.
Okay. So it's just Rise is the Enterprise.
Love Begins.
And Begins, too.
It's not a good movie.
No. Here's what I will say to all of your points. You could do that. You could do that in Batman Begins. You could do that in Dark Knight Rises or Dark Knight Returns. I think you could poke all kinds of crazy holes
in any
you could do that. You could sit there and go, oh, well, why does the Joker tell two stories? Or so he just breaks his head in an interrogation room, the glass is gonna be able to break out and he's gonna be able to get a shard and kind of bullshit.
Right, sure.
There's no interrogation room in the fucking planet that has that.
Or that would have killed him.
Right. Or that would have killed him.
That definitely would have killed
him. You could do that forever because we're watching a movie about a guy.
I will concede that.
Okay. Because, like, you know, he heals himself with rope and all that stuff. Yes, of course. He is the Batman.
You needed some of that Star Trek magic blood.
In Star Trek, those are like bullshit plot devices. To me, I'm suspending my whole disbelief, like, across the board. And what offends me about previous Batman movies is Joel Schumacher, everything he's ever done is offensive. He said in an interview, this movie's going to have more bat butt than ever. That guy doesn't get it. He never read the comics. So to me, like, Christopher Nolan is keeping that universe so intact for me that's why I was so on board with it. And I'm crazy obsessed with it.
Well, Shatner.
I like the Batman. Now I'm Christopher Walken.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like Christopher Walken.
As Sean Connery.
Well, you have like an emotional tie, just like a child who learned Mormonism from her mother. You were told these stories of the Book of Ether as you were given a bath.
Yeah.
And now you're going to stick with them.
Yes.
I understand.
Of all the comics I've ever read, that one...
Can I ask you this?
Sure.
Daytime Batman, not a fan. I don't like seeing him out in the day.
Yeah. He's a night guy. He works the shadows.
Somebody made the point that was, like, symbolic. He's, like, coming out. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I think, too, that those three movies, those three Christopher Nolan movies, I think it had to kind of end that way. And I think, and I love Tom Hardy. I love his, the more I watch that movie, the more I love it. Like, everyone goes, now that I've seen it, I see the holes. I don't see them. I see even more.
I'll say this. I know I just did that rant, but, you know, a lot of that was for comedy. Every time I watch it, I do like it more. I'm not a monster. Here's the thing. Nitpicking is stupid, and I did say I don't want to marshal other people's good time. The real thing that upset me was that I didn't enjoy it. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm watching it.
Now, let me ask you this.
The tweets, as they are,
sure.
Who cares?
The funny tweets are funny tweets.
Funny tweets are funny tweets, and holes are holes. But watching it, I was like,
do you think...
Look, I'll fuck anything. Speaking of fucking, he did fuck the villain. I mean, you know I made these Batman videos, right? Are you aware of that?
Mm-mm.
I made these Batman videos, and one of them was making fun of how Talia al Ghul and Batman fucked.
Well, here's the thing. In the comic, they have a thing. And in the comic, too, this is the other thing. When you're like, oh, he sees that image of Ra's al Ghul, that's such bullshit. In the comic, Ra's al Ghul is an immortal.
Right. So it's real.
So
it's all
no,
real.
No, I'm not joking. Yes, I was saying, so
real.
In that world, it's real.
In that world, it's real. And he does have an affair with Talia in the comics.
I just feel like they really wedged it in, and it was by a fireplace.
Well.
And a bearskin rug. It looked like a bad, you know, Fabio novel. And they literally panned away from it. I was like, we're losing touch here, folks. And then at the end, she stabbed him. And the joke is that he can't stop being like, I stabbed you first. The whole time. Like, he just can't get over it. He's like, we were 69ing. Like, 2 days ago. I fucked you in three places in an order that would surprise you. And she's like trying to blow up Gotham. Who cares? Look, let's watch it together one day.
Here's what I was going to say. I like Tom Hardy. The fact that now that I've seen it a bunch of times and I know that he has his whole intention is just blowing up the whole city and that it's all a ruse, then his acting choices of Bane, that kangaroo court and on the courthouse steps, is all just bullshit. And how he plays it to me, and then the fact that it, deep down he is actually in love with her, and the fact that he finally saw one other emotion, that scene that he loved her, like that, right. I don't know, that hit me. But I grew up.
Yep. I know.
In the shadows, they were my friends.
Did you honestly think we were going to talk about this movie without me doing a Bane impression?
No.
We get it. You're a bathtub Mormon.
I was born in the bathtub.
The thing I'm going to say to you that I know you'll agree with is I also couldn't separate two things from that movie. One was Aurora. I'm not trying to be political. It did ruin the movie a little bit for me. I'm just trying to be vulnerable.
So you saw it after the shooting?
In the theater, and during that stock exchange thing, I was like, fuck this. I didn't like it. Like, it was like jarring. Second, Heath Ledger. I'm sorry to bring up two bummers of things, but it was my understanding that the third film was going to be the Joker escaping from Arkham, which would have been awesome. I fall asleep pretending that movie exists. Instead, I have, Carmen, there's going to be a body in the fucking ship. One of us has to stay. I work out a lot. That's my power. I'm on an all-liquid diet.
I can only drink smoothies. Yeah.
A crab died on my face. Fucking stupid movie. That's my main argument. At the end of the day, I'm just gonna go fuck that movie.
So here's the thing. So this is actually my question then.
Yeah.
Do you think that had you not had all of these giant expectations going into it, you
would have? Isn't that funny? This is a movie podcast, and here we are getting into it. I'm saying, movies, what we're uncovering here, have a lot to do with where you're at.
Of course.
And what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
I saw The Illusionist. I was in love. I love The Illusionist. Guess what? Not a great film. That's the greatest trick of that film. If you're in love when you see it, you'll love it forever. So if I had seen Dark Knight Rises,
while you were having sex on a bearskin rug in front of a fireplace.
And I'd go, wait, are you going to betray me later?
You're going to go, can I get some of your dad's immortal fucking juice on my stick? We're going to have a half-bat, half-immortal baby. Oh. Yeah.
So I guess the takeaway here is that pretty much it's a tie.
That's fine. I'm more interested in the emotional core.
I want to say this though too, with regard to the Aurora shooting, because I saw a midnight showing and then found out about the shooting the next day, and I was gonna go see a bunch of shows.
So I'm not trying to be funny. You were seeing the film at a midnight showing while that was happening.
I know, absolutely. And so the next day, I was gonna go see it a bunch of times and didn't want to and couldn't, and it took a lot out of the film for me. And then I started to realize that. I personally wanted to take that movie back. I didn't want that horrible event, and it's horrible, and we shouldn't sweep it under the rug or anything like that. But that horrible event, I was like, I'm not gonna let that thing that unfortunately happens all too often in this country affect what I thought was a great film and a great conclusion to
I completely understand.
You know what I mean? It took me 2 months to watch the movie a second time.
Okay.
And then after I saw it a second time, I was like, you know what? No, fuck this. I love this movie, and I'm not going to let anything take away from this film.
Yeah, no, I completely get that.
But you can't mention that film without the Aurora shooting. It's almost hard. I mean, that sucks, and that's why
I've tragedies with the second one too, with Heath Ledger.
Well, I remember when I saw that, and he's on the pool table, and he's a corpse. Everybody groaned. Everybody was very upset. I remember that. Mm-hmm. So both times seeing those movies in the theaters, it was twinged with something very sad.
Right.
So it's impossible to separate. And I had a very different experience. I saw it after. So that stock exchange scene, I literally, you got to remember, I'm not here to be political. I'm not a political person. I'm not here to tell anybody what to do. But I remember in that scene when they're riding around on the bikes and they're shooting guns, and fucking movies are loud as fuck these days. Mm-hmm. And it was so loud. I'm like, I'm such an old person. I was like, they could turn it down a little bit.
I don't like the loud noises in the high boots. I don't care for them.
Turn on the closed caption because I can't understand crab face, and turn it all down. Turn the whole thing down.
Face.
But I mean, I don't think there was a person in the theater that wasn't thinking like,
of course,
fuck, and having a feeling of like, it's no wonder, like these images or whatever. I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying that's how
sure,
I felt
that,
when I was
that
watching
was, it. You, that is a part of it. And I totally, I get that because we've talked about this several times and this always comes up, the expectation issue about a film. And I think had I saw the movie when you did, I think I would have had a different view of it a little bit.
Or if you had seen it
somebody
together.
Somebody says no. Someone, Aaron goes no.
Or
no,
if you had seen it together.
Right.
Wonder how you guys
that's the other thing, too. The person I saw it with two people, and we were, all three of us were like crazy Batman fans, all had Batman stuff. All three of us were crying at the end. It was so magical.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah.
A little too much information.
And I was wearing Batman underwear. Yeah. Is that, and I'm
on the outside?
Yeah. On my head.
Batman underwear is any underwear on the outside.
you know Batman tonight? Is that you're going to Batman your underwear? That's the expression.
It's true. There's an emotional context. Like, I couldn't enjoy Fat Albert after I lost my leg to diabetes. This is wood, baby.
Holy shit, that was tremendous.
If the crowd lets you take a detour into Sad Town, we'll find a way back. We leave breadcrumbs of comedy.
God bless him.
I do want to thank my guests, Graham.
All right, well, let's...
You guys are a good time at the movies. We can talk about more. I don't have to go.
Yeah, well, let's talk about something you actually like. No, you're a huge P.T. Anderson.
Love it.
What are your favorite films of his?
There Will Be Blood is my favorite movie.
Oh, I hated it!
Did you?
No, I'm fucking kidding.
I'm drilling for oil.
Now, wait a minute.
It's one man's journey!
Mastered in a basket. Fuck you.
Yep.
I think he's overrated.
P.T. as a whole?
Yes.
Here, let me join you a little bit in the friendship canoe that you're steering.
All right.
I don't really... I hate saying this because he directed two of my favorite movies, which is The Master and There Will Be Blood. But his other work I could do without as well.
Ah, there you go. So now, I think Magnolia was a great 90-minute film cunningly hidden inside 4 hours.
That's very funny. I actually... I forgot he did Magnolia. I love Magnolia. But I love a good depressing movie. I find that movie...
That goes on forever.
Very sad. Yeah. It
was I not depressing enough for you?
You could have been a little bit more...
Was I too upbeat of a criminal in your eyes?
You're reminding me that I found him... This is another old man comment. Too scary. I remember leaving the theater...
The Joker's a clown. Clowns are fun.
It's true, but I said that Bane was too scary. We did those parodies, and Matt McCarthy dressed up like Bane, and I was like, I don't like this. Nothing about that says comedy to me. I didn't like one part of it. But I love The Master. The Master actually had a weird... It's caused me to go like deep into Scientology. I've been looking into like what it's all about. I know.
No.
I know.
Investigating or being one?
Here, look...
Well, if he starts getting A-list movies, we'll know which direction he went.
Oh, then we can watch him on screen and go, oh, Pete got clear.
Oh, awesome. Nice E-meter reading. Oh, another Will Smith movie. Wow, that's great.
I'm right there with you that they are total bonkers, and I'm reading Inside Scientology, and that's why. But this is what's interesting about The Master. The Master isn't about the time when Scientology was bonkers. It's about the time before, and the movie ends right about the time it starts to go sideways. Do you mm-hmm. understand? So the beginning of the movie is really just about auditing and Dianetics. I'm sorry I know all this. But like Freddie Quell, who's like the coolest character ever, does receive some help from this bullshit. Let's say it's bullshit. Let's say it's something that this guy is making up. I don't give a fuck. I don't. Dianetics was huge. Millions of like weird hippies dropping acid like got into Dianetics, and a lot of people had like social anxiety, physical ailments and stuff improve from this phony baloney therapy. I'm not saying it. When we talk about Scientology, we talk about thetans, we talk about the volcanoes spewing spirits and weird creation,
which is all true.
Stuff. That stuff came later. When you rewatch The Master, that's what they're talking about with like book two. Book one was Dianetics. Book two is when everyone's like, this guy's an idiot, and Freddy beats the guy up outside. Do you remember that? Anyway, I'm interested in what's ending up happening is a lot of Googling that's probably alerting someone at Scientology. We got him. I'm not saying, here's my point, my overall point about Scientology or anything, Christian Scientist, Jehovah's Witness, it doesn't matter who or what. At some point, there's a kernel of truth that lures intelligent people into cults and strange phony baloney religions. I'm interested in those kernels. I'd like to be able to go, what was that, and run the fuck away. I understand that that's probably too hard to do, so I'm not really fucking with it, but The Master, an anti-Scientology movie, did make me learn all this shit. So if you'd like to close your eyes and receive some free processing.
Well, I want to go back to Chris, you saying that you're what P.T. Anderson movies do you not like that you think are overrated?
Well,
I don't know that we've ever had this discussion.
Yeah, here's the thing about P.T. Anderson. I really think that he is amazing at directing actors and scenes. But when you put the entire movie together, that's where it falls apart. Like, I thought Magnolia, There Will Be Blood, the great scenes, great performances, but when you put it all together as a movie, it doesn't come together.
Have you tried drinking scotch while you watch There Will Be Blood?
I will now. Will that help me get clear?
I'm pretty sure you can't as a Scientology now, but L. Ron loved some booze.
So wait, now, do you have any P.T. Anderson movies that you, like, missed the mark for you?
Or? Oh, yeah. I don't like Boogie Nights at all. I don't like ensemble movies at all. If there's, like, seven characters, I'm like, fuck this. What is this, a book?
So you didn't like Cannonball Run?
I don't know that one. What is this, Judge the Guest Night?
Yeah.
What's Cannonball Run? I referenced Murder of Crows earlier. What is Cannonball Run?
It's a Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds, Tom DeLuise vehicle.
Literally,
an actual car that they drive around.
I've seen Midnight Run.
I agree with you about those other points.
I don't like Boogie Nights. I don't like, what was his other ones?
Magnolia.
Punch Drunk Love, I want to like. What you said about scenes and moments and stuff, I understand. It doesn't really come together for me as a picture.
You guys are both shit nuts.
Why, those are all just great?
I like them all.
Mm. Well, see, he's shit nuts for not liking There Will Be Blood or The Master.
But then it all comes back around. Dark Knight.
Is great. And always will be. Good night.
Graham is gone.
The only way that would be effective is if there was a window behind me and I jumped out of it.
Yes. And you landed on the bat wing and flew away.
And I just fucking flew away, and then we got to see Catwoman.
You mean the bat wing that you hid in an alley with a tarp?
Yeah. They weren't looking on roofs. Nobody looks up in big cities.
And what was that gun? An electricity gun that he shot?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, he stinks.
Experimental weapons. You got all right. Electricity gun.
Well, anything, Pete?
What do you got coming up?
What do you want to promote? What do you want to talk to the people about? Where can they find you?
At the Celebrity Center, the Church of Scientology.
Oh, shit.
Pete Holmes on Twitter, PeteHolmes.com, and my podcast is called You Made It Weird.
Nice.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pete Holmes, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, folks, that is just about our show. Of course, we'll be right over here. We've got the Comedy Film Nerd Guide to Movies.
We brought some T-shirts, too.
We brought some Comedy Film Nerd shirts, if you'd like them. And go to comedyfilmnerds.com, at Comedy Film Nerds on Twitter, the Comedy Film Nerds fan page, and Los Angeles Podcast Festival, October 4 through 6.
We'll see you
there.
You
guys are awesome. If you haven't, please go to lapodfest.com. Thank you guys so much. I'm Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. Thanks a lot, everybody. Good
night. And remember, on shot first. Thank you, guys. Good night. That's some music, maybe.
Quietly walk out like that.